Well, we're very excited about what God wants to say and do today. Will has asked me to speak on the healing hands of Jesus. So if you have a Bible, or if it's on your phone, turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Now, healing within the church today is a huge, complicated, and sensitive issue. But it's one that we must address, because we have been commissioned by Jesus to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and drive out demons. Matthew 10, verse 8. Jesus says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe in me. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall be healed." Mark 16, verse 18. And in the context of healing, and in the context of miracles, Jesus says, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. In fact, they will do even greater things than these. John 14, verse 12. We have been commissioned to heal the sick. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 45. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus, moved with compassion, reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. And as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in a lonely place. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Now, I want to highlight three areas from this passage that will help us to understand and apply this subject today. First of all, let's look at the leper. Now, we don't know much about this man. We don't know his name. We don't know his family background. We don't know where he's come from. But what we do know is this: he was in a lot of pain, because leprosy was an incredible, painful disease that affected every part of the body. What we do know is that he was a social outcast. Those who had leprosy lived outside the village. They lived outside the town. They were ostracized by the local community and by their family. But I noticed three things about this man in the story that I want to share briefly. First of all, his discerning heart. This man knew where to go. He went directly to Jesus. He must have heard about those that Jesus has healed. And he thought to himself, what Jesus has done for them may be just Jesus could do that for me. He had insight and he went to Jesus. I was in my office one Friday doing my sermon, and the secretary phoned. And she said, "I've got a man called Dave from the local community, and he wants to see Pastor Paul. Can you speak to him?" And I said, "Sure, send him up." And so this man came up and he sat in my office and we had a little chat together. And then I asked him the question. I said, "Dave, what can I do for you today?" He said, "I want you to heal my back." I goes, "Pardon?" He says, "I've looked on your website and I've read your article, and you say that God heals today. I've had two operations. I've been to the chiropractic doctor, the osteopath. I'm on these painkillers, and there's days when I don't want to live. The pain is so severe. I want you to heal my back. Now, here's the point of the story. He knew where to come for healing. I said to him, Dave, before I pray for your healing, I want to speak about the man that I'm asking that would heal your back, and his name is Jesus. And we sat for about 15 minutes and we talked about Jesus. And then I said, I've got this little flask of oil. Would you mind if I anointed you with oil? It's symbolic of the presence of God. It's symbolic of the healing of God upon your life today. He said, no problem. So I anointed him with oil and I prayed over him. And I said, how do you feel, Dave? And he went, oh, it's still painful. I said, let's pray again. Prayed again. Dave, how do you feel? Still the same. Prayed again. Dave, how do you feel? No different. I said, here's the deal. I said, I'll pray for you over the weekend and you come back next week and we'll pray again. He said, great. And so he went off. Sunday morning came and I'm preaching and I'm up at the tech desk and I'm getting set up with my mic and there's a tap on my shoulder and I turned round and it's a bold Dave. He's in church. And he said to me, how are you? I said, I'm fine. The question is, how are you? He said, I am wonderful. He says, from Friday, the pain is decreased. So much so, this morning, I am off all my painkillers. He said to me, what you wrote was true. God still heals Hallelujah. Today. Hallelujah. And my prayer for this community in Buckskins is that people will know where to go for healing. Yeah. People will know where to come. For a touch from God. Secondly, notice his desperate plea. He knelt down in front of Jesus and he begged him for healing. He pleaded for healing. Now, he did something that was totally unacceptable in this culture, and that was to approach another individual who didn't have leprosy. But you know, desperate people do desperate things. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? I mean, she was so desperate to be healed. She's in this crowd and she's pushing through the crowd. She's pushing people apart and she thinks, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, then I'll be healed. Such was her desperation. She reaches Jesus. She touched the hem of his garment and Jesus said, who touched me? The healing power of God came through Jesus, and you knew that somebody was touched. Such was a desperation. In Mark 2, we see the desperation of a man's friends. They wanted him to be healed. He's lame, and they hear that Jesus is in the village, and he's in a house, but they can't get in the house. So they go on top of the roof, and they take the roof off, and they lower the man into the presence of Jesus. And Jesus looks at him, and he says, be healed. Desperate people do desperate things. This leper knew that this situation might never come his way again. And so he fell at the feet of Jesus and he pleads with him to heal. Such was his desperation. Thirdly, notice his determined faith. I find this really interesting. That he didn't actually demand his healing. There was no name it and claim it. Yeah. He came in humility and in faith. And this is what he says to Jesus. If you are willing, you can make me clean. You can make me whole. You can restore this decaying body. He was clear and sincere in his request. You know, the great news for us today is this, that Jesus is always approachable. He's always accessible. He's always listening and responding. He hears the cry of our hearts and he feels the pain and the desperation. This is what Mother Teresa once said. Don't worry, God is never blind to your tears. He's never deaf to your prayers and never silent to your pain. He sees, he hears, and he will deliver you. Secondly, let's look at the response of Jesus. And again, it's threefold. First of all, it was filled with compassion. The King James verse of number 4 is rightly translated that he was moved with compassion. And as you read the New Testament, you will find that phrase time and time again with reference to Jesus, that he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion for bereavement in Luke chapter 7 when this woman lost her son. And such was the compassion in his heart, he raised the boy back to life. He was moved with compassion for the lost in Luke 13. He looked over Jerusalem and the Bible said he wept. Such was the compassion for the lost. And as he preached the kingdom of God, many came to faith in him. He was moved with compassion for the oppressed. In Matthew 8, he delivered those who were demon-possessed and he set them free. Compassion will always, without question, lead you to action. He raised the boy. He healed the sick. He freed the oppressed. He saved the lost. He fed the multitude because he was filled with compassion. And I tell you this morning, the longing of God's heart is to fill his church with his compassion. The longing of God's heart is to fill these vessels that belong to him with his compassion so that we can see people as he sees them and respond to them as he responds. Secondly, notice his response was incarnational. He stretched out his hand and in so doing, he stepped into his world. He stepped into his space. He stepped into his isolation and his anguish and his disappointment and his loneliness. He stepped into his world. Jesus went where nobody else wanted to go. And Jesus did what no one else wanted to do. When Jesus was born, he stepped into our world, space, brokenness, disappointment, disillusionment, pain, and hopelessness. And his incarnation was not confined to Bethlehem. His incarnation was for 33 years as he lived amongst the people. C.S. Lewis, in his book, Mere Christianity, says this, "The Son of God became man to enable men to become sons of God." Amen. And because of that, we should be incarnational. We should be just like Jesus. We should step into darkness and disappointment and disillusionment and brokenness and hopelessness and make a difference, to bring physical, spiritual, mental, and emotional healing. 3 years ago, our neighbor's son, he tragically died of cancer, and he was only 37. And when we moved into our little cul-de-sac, His mum and dad made it perfectly clear that they didn't believe in God, they didn't want God, and they didn't believe in the church and would never attend. 2 days after Russell died, I was reading Paul's word to the church at Corinth, where we read, God comforts us in times of trouble so that we can comfort others in times of trouble. And I felt a tremendous stirring and conviction within my heart that I had to go and step into their world, step into their space, step into their pain and brokenness. And so I went and knocked on his door, and Russell's mum was out, but his dad, Dick, was in, and he invited me in, and we sat together in the lounge and we talked. And I shared with Dick about our loss. We sadly lost our daughter, Hannah, when she was almost 18. And I spoke about how God had brought comfort into my heart and how God had healed my heart from that great loss. I got up to leave and I felt compelled to pray with Dick. And I'm standing in his hallway and I said to him, as one dad to another, would you allow me to pray for you this day? And he said, yes, please. And we stood in that hallway and we hugged each other. And he cried on my shoulder and I cried on his. And the presence of God came in such a tangible way. The comfort of God came. The healing power of God came upon us both. 2 years later, we're leaving the cul-de-sac to move to Worthing. And Dick was the last neighbor to come to say goodbye. And this is what he said. He said, you have no idea what it meant to me that day when you stepped into my world, into my bereavement, into my pain. I will never forget it. As Christians, we are called to be incarnational. We're called to take the compassion, the comfort, the love, and the healing power of God into difficult situations. Thirdly, his response was radical. I love this verse. One of my favorite verses in Scripture, the Lord touched him. Many believe that this was the touch of death. This touch to the man who'd leprosy would condemn him to pain and misery and isolation and suffering for the rest of his life. So they thought. But they failed to realize that sickness and death was a consequence of man's fall and of man's sin. But Jesus, who knew no sin, perfection personified, he could say one word and things would change. One touch from the king could change everything. Amen. And so he reached out and he touched the leper. This is what Heidi Baker writes. She says, when God puts love and compassion in your heart towards someone, he's offering you an opportunity to make a difference in that person's life. You must learn to flow that compassion and to follow that compassion. Act on it. Somebody needs what you have in your heart and in these hands. Finally, I want to highlight the power of Jesus. And we see that in three ways. First of all, it was instant. Can you imagine this scene? This man is standing there, and all his sores and all his disfigurement within his face goes. Jesus says to him, I am willing. Be clean. And in an instant, they've gone. In an instant, he's completely healed. Just two words. Be clean. Two words with great power, authority, and clarity. Be clean. Remember the centurion who lost his son in Matthew 8, and he said to Jesus, you just need to say the word, and it'll be done. Just the word. Be healed, and it will be done. One word, one touch, and it will be done. When I became a Christian in 1977, I had a terrible stutter and stammer. I found it difficult to hold a conversation. And when Jesus called me to preach, in an instant, he took my stammer away. Now, you should be thankful for that today, because if I had my stammer, you'd be going home for tea and not for lunch. It was instant. He said, be healed. And it's gone. Secondly, it was miraculous. The demonstration of the power of God was miraculous. There was no cure for this condition. There was no medication to make it better. This was God breaking through the natural with the supernatural. Now, sometimes we don't see God move in supernatural healing because of the disappointment of the past. Let's be honest. You've prayed for people again and again and again, and they've never been healed. And that disappointment has taken root in your heart. Or you've been prayed for again and again and again, and you've seen no evidence of God's healing. And that disappointment has taken root in your heart. That was certainly my experience. As I said, we lost our lovely daughter, Hannah, to cystic fibrosis in 2002 when she was almost 18. And that was a tremendous loss to us. Only God knows the pain and the loss that we endured. We moved through to Amersham in 2003, and I was a senior pastor there, and I was responsible for 16 churches in Ghana. And so within the first year, we were invited over to do a preaching tour. And so Liz and I went. And within 1 week, I preached 13 sermons all over Kumasi. And the last Sunday came, and we gave everything that we had. And then at the end of the service, we prayed with all these people. And then towards the very end, I saw this lady, and she was crying with the pastor. And then the pastor approached us, and he said, I know it's been a difficult week. I know you're exhausted. But this woman heard you on the radio. And she has a son who's almost 18. And he's been sent home to die with a brain tumor the size of a satsuma. Would you come and pray for his healing? I never thought I'd pray for anybody to be healed ever in my ministry again. But in that moment, God spoke to me and he says, Paul, don't allow the disappointment of the past rob you of the present nor the future. And I looked at Liz and I knew that she was already there praying with this young man. And so I agreed that we'd go and pray. And as we walked into his room, he was lying on the floor on a mat with nothing else in the room. You could smell the stench of death around him. And we laid down beside him and we prayed over him. We anointed him. We sang over him. We cried over him. And then we came back to the UK. 2 years later, Pastor Edward and Mary are back in Amersham and they're giving a report of what God's been doing in Ghana, and they have these slides on the screen, and all of a sudden Samuel pops up. And they said, oh, this is Samuel. Samuel was sent home with a brain tumor the size of a satsuma. And then Pastor Paul and Pastor Liz came and they prayed for him. Within 4 days, he was walking. Within 10 days, he'd gone back to the hospital and there was no sign of the brain tumor. And he's now serving God in America. You know, there's some things this side of eternity that we will never understand. Why someone is healed and someone is not. But be assured of this today. God heals in the mighty name of Jesus. And there's more to healing than physical. And I'm going to ask Liz to come and share two stories that reflect that. Thank you, Liz.
So, like so many of you, I have suffered a lot of loss. I lost a sister that I never met. My mum died in a terrible way, and my dad rejected me. And I had a real sense of abandonment growing up. And then, of course, we lost our daughter at 17 and a half. And so, over the years, my heart was broken. But in my walk with Daddy God, with my Father God, I've learnt to let go of the pain. I've learnt to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and heal my heart. And every time there's something that just causes me that pain, that memory, I've learnt, Holy Spirit, I give you that, and I ask you to come in, pour in your healing balm, and heal my heart. And one day we were, well, for a weekend, we were ministering at Poole Church, a church in Poole. And Becky, the pastor's wife, said, can I pray with you? And I was like, yeah, I love people praying for me. And when she was praying for me, she saw my broken heart. And she said, as I look at your heart, Liz, I can see it's been mended. And I see this pure gold all over your heart, and all the little cracks that have been broken, there's pure gold. She says it's like kintsugi. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's like a Japanese art form where they take broken porcelain or broken pieces of china, and they mend it with gold powder and lacquer, and it turns the broken pottery into something beautiful. And many believe that the mended piece of the pottery is more beautiful, more valuable and stronger because it's been transformed through suffering. And Becky said to me that through my brokenness and through my suffering, God had done a work in my life and in my heart to repair it and to transform it into something beautiful. And I truly can testify to that, because I believe that I'm not the same person I was when I became a Christian, or even since we've been married. I believe that God has done such a work in my heart that I'm able to feel more for people and have a strength to know that God can bring me through anything. So no matter what goes on, God can bring me through it. When I was a teacher, I had to go through quite a lot of Ofsteds. And people used to say to me, why are you not worried about Ofsted, Liz? And I'd be like, because God's with me and there's bigger things in this world to deal with. And why should we worry? Because God is with us in whatever we have to go through. So when I was thinking about this, the Lord kind of brought this sponge to my mind, and I felt the Lord say to me, will you allow God to transform your suffering? Will you allow him into your heart to bring healing into your heart? Because we all suffer trauma. We all suffer loss. And when I hold this sponge like this, not much water can get into it. It's still fairly dry and there's nothing coming out it. But when I let the sponge in wholeheartedly and let it just allow the water in, it's absolutely soaked and dripping. And that's like our hearts. Thank you, Paul. When the Holy Spirit prompts us, we have a decision to make. We either say, no, I'm holding on to this heart. I'm protecting my heart. I'm guarding my heart. And I'm keeping it closed. Or you can say, Holy Spirit, come and do whatever you want to do in my heart, because it's broken. And maybe one of the first things we need to acknowledge is we have got pain in our heart. And emotional pain can often be more difficult to deal with because it causes all sorts of mental health problems and all sorts of trauma again and again and again. And so I would urge you, if the Holy Spirit's prompting you, even now, there's that pain in your heart, just allow him to pour his balm in, to pour his gold in, and to mend that heart. Yeah. One testimony I'd like to share too is about a lady that we met many years ago, and she'd just started coming to her heart. She was broken, she was lonely, she was frightened and really insecure, and she said to me, I feel lost, Liz, I really feel lost. And as Paul and I talked to her, she shared that she had had to, that she wasn't able to hold a baby, she wasn't able to go near the creche or anything. And as we talked some more, she shared that she'd had an abortion. And she had had it because medics persuaded her it was the best thing for her. But she had felt bullied into it and regretted it from the minute she had had it. And she told me it was the worst decision of her life. So as we chatted, we asked her if she would like prayer. And as we talked some more, we said, would you like to give your life to Jesus? Ask for his forgiveness for your sins, for all your sins. And also ask Jesus for the ability to forgive yourself. There and then, she completely gave her life to Jesus and cried with relief and joy. And you could just see the change in her. When she found forgiveness, she found freedom, and she found healing from her past. The following week, I was looking for her in church because she said she would come, and I couldn't find her. And as I looked, I found her in the creche, and she was holding a baby. And it was just amazing. She was just holding this baby in a way that she'd never been able to do before. And she ended up in the creche at times. So she went on from strength to strength. So there is instant healing for those that believe.
Thank you, Liz. So there is healing physically, emotionally, mentally, in the name of Jesus. And don't allow the disappointment of the past rob you of what God wants to do today. I remember a month after Hannah died, I was disappointed with God. And I remember standing outside this old church. I saw this stained glass window. And it was just a mass of colours. And when I went inside and looked at the same window, it was a beautiful picture, beautiful painting, beautiful portrait. And God said to me this. He said, you know, Paul, some things this side of eternity just don't make sense. But when you get to the other side, and you look at the same window, you look at the same life, it will make sense. So don't allow the disappointment of the past rob you of the power of God in the present or the future. Thirdly, and I finish, it was infectious. Jesus says, go and show yourself to the priest first, and don't say anything to anybody. You know, I have seen sermons of condemnation on this man because he didn't do what Jesus asked him to do. But I can totally understand why he didn't. I mean, he couldn't contain his joy. He had a death sentence. He'd no future, no hope, no friends, no life. And he leaves Jesus, and people recognize him and say, "What's happened to you?" And he tells another, and another, because of this explosion of joy and of life within his life. So much so, he forgets to go to the priest. Such was the testimony of the power of God in his life that others came to be healed by Jesus. Christine Kane writes this: "There is no power in your name or my name, but there is awesome power in the name of Jesus because of everything that he represents." And this morning, unashamedly, we declare that we believe there is power in the name of Jesus to heal spiritually, physically, emotionally, and mentally. And Liz and I and others from the leadership team would be thrilled to pray for you this morning. We'd be thrilled to pray that God's all-surpassing healing power would come and fill your life afresh. So I'm going to ask the music group to come and join me. And I would like to pray. And then there will be a station at the back of the church. And there will be some leaders here at the front with oil so that we can anoint you today. So in faith we can pray for you. We can bring you to Jesus and ask that his healing hands would be upon you today. And that his healing hands would be released in this church. That many from this community would know where to come to receive a touch from God. So would you stand as we pray together? Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you that there is power in his name to heal spiritually, physically, emotionally, and mentally. We thank you that there is power in his name to save and to revive and to restore. Holy Spirit, in these moments, would you break through the natural in the supernatural and establish your kingdom. Let your kingdom come in the name of Jesus. Let your healing come in the name of Jesus. Let freedom come in the name of Jesus. Let your anointing come upon this body of believers in the name of Jesus. May our hands from this day on be healing hands, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. So as we worship, I would encourage you, if God's spoken to you this morning, you'd like us to anoint you with oil and pray for you, to seize the moment as this leper did, to come to the fear of Jesus and declare, if you are willing, if you are willing, Lord, would you heal this body, this mind, this heart? And we know from Scripture there is an eagerness in God's heart to release his healing power in abundance this day, in these moments.